Happy holidays. Do you guys not know what holiday it is? You guys have no idea, do you? I can't believe you guys have... No. No, none of those. I can't believe you guys don't know what holiday it is. It's one of my favorites. Eat Eggs Day? Maybe it is, but that's not why I'm celebrating. Okay, but do you want to know why I'm celebrating this week? This week is National Squirrel Appreciation Week. Come on, guys. You got to be on top of your holidays here, all right? National Squirrel Appreciation Week. Come on, let's give it up for the squirrels. We appreciate them. That's right. You know what? And just to celebrate, I brought my snowboarding squirrel that my sister bought this for me in Switzerland, okay? It's an authentic snowboarding squirrel. The funny thing about it is they don't know how to spell snowboarding, and they put an R instead of a B, so it says snow roarding. But one thing I really like about this guy is that since he's from the Alps, he yodels. You guys want to hear him yodel? Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is the Squirrel Appreciation Week anthem right here. Ready? Give it up for the squirrels. Very nice. So happy Squirrel Appreciation Week. Some other things worthy of celebrating this week. We're going to put a picture of John Farah up on the screen and some other contestants. John Farah is the 2006 North American Wife Carrying Champion. All right? Yes, I did say wife as in W-I-F-E. He carried his wife down a 278-yard track with a water trough, with hurdles that he had to jump over with her on his back. And he did 278 yards, believe it or not, in a minute and 6 seconds to take the North American wife-carrying champion title. Very nice, right? The best wife carrier in North America. Another thing worth celebrating tonight. This next picture is Richard Lefebvre. He is the 2006 Jalapeno Eating World Champion. In Texas, it was their state fair, and they had this contest, and he ate 247 jalapenos in 8 minutes. Nice, huh? I don't know if he puked or if he died or what, but... As far as I know, he's still alive, and he's still munching the jalapenos. He won $2,000, and he also... He won $2,000, and he also was dubbed the 8th-ranked eater in the world, okay? Now, I don't know... How many of you guys are into competitive eating? Anybody? Yeah, sure you are. Okay. Sure you are. But this guy was 8th ranked in the world by the International Federation of Competitive Eating. Believe it or not, there is a federation for that. So I guess lots of people like to competitively eat. So he's the 2006 Jalapeno Champion. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people involved in a lot of different crazy things. But when it really boils down to it, none of those things matter. All right. Now, it's cool to celebrate squirrels. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's cool to eat 247 jalapenos in 8 minutes. I guess it's cool to carry your wife 278 yards upside down through water and over hurdles. I don't know. Some people think that's cool. But none of that really matters when you really think about the theme of life. At the end of life, if these guys are buried, and on their tombstone it says, he ate a lot of jalapenos. You think anybody's going to really care that that guy, that he is known for eating 247 jalapenos? Probably not. At the end of this life, it's not going to matter that much. Make sure you guys are turned to Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles, because tonight we're going to look at the only thing that really matters. The only thing that really matters. Because in life, it's really easy to get consumed with lots of other stuff. You guys all know how it is. There's school. Maybe for some of you, there's chores or work. There's Xbox. There's eating. There's sleeping. There's eating jalapenos. There's all kinds of stuff, you know. And so easily, our schedules become so full that our priorities can get swapped. And sometimes the things that should be on the very top of our list end up on the bottom because we just didn't have time that day or just didn't have time that week. But tonight, I hope to refocus your priorities as well as my priorities. I know that this week as I was studying, God really spoke to me a lot through these two women that we're going to be learning about tonight, Mary and Martha. You guys have probably heard about them if you've read the Gospels, but we have a lot to learn from each one of them. Two godly women, one that went about it one way and the other that went about it in a different way. And so tonight, what I want you guys to do, as we learn the one thing that really matters tonight, I want you to put down any notes that you might be passing. I want you to focus up here, and I want you to check yourself, okay? Give God the last few minutes of tonight, and let God check your heart. You check your heart and see if your priorities are lined up the way that they should be. And if the one thing that really matters in life is number one on your list, because if it's not, you'll have a chance to fix that tonight. So I want you guys to be thinking about that. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42 are our text. Only five verses. I'm sorry, four. Yeah, I can count. Five verses. Verse 38. Let's read our text tonight. Luke 10, starting verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. If you're following along on your bulletins, number one, Mary thought listening mattered most. Mary thought listening mattered most. Now, you guys know how it is when you guys have guests over to your house. Your mom goes crazy before they come over, right? Cleaning every nook and cranny. You're like, Mom, they're not house inspectors. They're our friends, you know? Like, they're not going to come in here and point out little areas that we need to clean. That's not what my friends do. But moms, being who they are obsessed with making sure that things look good when they come over. And you guys know that if someone's coming over, or maybe a guest has already arrived and there's still work that needs to be done, she gets a little upset if you're up there playing Xbox or playing your guitar or listening to music, right? Just sitting there, not helping her, she gets a little upset. Now let's think about, real quick, think about the situation. Jesus is walking all over this area close to this town of Bethany. He's walking all over. He and his disciples are with him. People keep coming up to him. He begins to teach. He begins to say things. Different people, in fact, earlier in verse 10 or in chapter 10, verse 25, it says that a lawyer is there present with him. He stands up. He asks him a question to test him. All of these things, they're walking all over. And verse 38 says, as they went, he entered a certain village. Now this village, as I said, was the village or the town of Bethany. And that's where Mary and Martha lived with their brother. Does anybody know who their brother was? Mary and Martha's brother? Who was it? He did die and get risen again. Lazarus, exactly. Very good. You're right on. So Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, they all live there in Bethany. So Martha sees Jesus. He's walking around. Hey, look at me. I'm Jesus. I'm walking through the wilderness. And all of a sudden, Martha sees him. And she says, Jesus, dude, come on over. I don't know if she said dude, but she said, come on over. She invites Jesus in. It says she welcomes him. Welcomes him into their house. So she opens the door. He comes in. Now, they probably didn't know that Jesus was coming. He didn't email her the day before, okay? Hey, by the way, he didn't text her. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be swinging by your house later on. She probably had no idea that he was on his way. He walks through the town, and Martha sees him and says, hey, Jesus, come on in. But Mary gets a little preoccupied. We see Mary here, and it says that she is seated. Verse 39 says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She's preoccupied. This is Jesus. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the one who for thousands of years, Mary is probably thinking, prophets have told that he was coming and he's here. Man, I got to spend some time with him. And it says in verse 39 that she sat down at his feet and heard his word. She was in awe of him. I had a instance of that happened to me this week. On Monday, I went to Albuquerque Christian School. I was invited to a funeral. A chapel. Not a funeral. Nobody died while I was there. Okay, that was good. A chapel at Albuquerque Christian School. So I got there. They actually fed me and the other guys that were there with me some breakfast. And then they took us on a tour of the school. It was real cool. The principal was walking us around the school. And we got to the part of the school that was designated for the younger kids, kindergarten, preschool. And so we're walking down the hall, and he says, right here on the left-hand side, you're going to see one of our preschool classrooms. So he poked his head in. Hey, guys, how's it going? So one of those, I'm walking right behind the principal. One of the little preschoolers, he's probably 4 or 5 years old, like this tall, comes up to my kneecap, okay? This little kid runs up to me, never seen me before in his life. And he looks at me like this, and he goes like this, you are so awesome, give me 5. And I was all, sweet, you're awesome too, you know. I was so stoked that he thought I was so awesome. And anything that he was supposed to be doing at that point in time did not matter to him, because he wanted to tell me that I was awesome, all right? So because of that, I wanted to tell him he was awesome. So I gave him a high five. I think it was probably a little too hard because I was really excited, you know. Whoa, you know, I hit him kind of hard. But he was so stoked. And then he just ran away. He just wanted to tell me that I was so awesome, all right? And I was like, hey, that was pretty cool, you know. But I thought about this kid because he was so amazed. I don't know if it was my gigantic stature. I don't know if it was my skinny frame. I don't know what it was. Or the fact that all the other pastors that I was with were wearing like priest collars and ties and slacks. And I was in like Converse and a track jacket. You know, I don't know what it was that made me stand out so much to that kid. But he thought I was like the coolest guy ever. But Mary reminds me a lot of him. She gets so sidetracked that she doesn't care about anything else that's going on. She is tuned in to Jesus. Probably staring at him eye to eye, listening, undivided attention. It says she is seated at his feet, listening, hearing his word. She is so preoccupied. She's in awe of Jesus. And anything that she was supposed to be doing is she doesn't worry about right now. In fact, later on, we'll read that she kind of made a habit of this. You can read about Mary later on in John chapter 12. Later on, Jesus is back at their house. And he's eating. It says Martha is serving the meal. It says Lazarus is, now he's risen from the dead. And he's one of the guys sitting at the table with Jesus. And you know what Mary does? She comes in and she begins to wash Jesus' feet. Now, for us, we're like, oh, sick. I don't want to touch anybody's feet, you know. But it was a cultural thing. Whenever you came over to somebody's house, they took their shoes off and you washed their feet. It was a sign of acceptance and love. And so Mary Not worrying about Martha serving the meal, not even worrying about herself getting plenty of food. Mary takes time out of her schedule and everybody else's to make sure that Jesus knows she's there and she loves him. So she makes this habit of it, of not caring so much about all the other stuff that's going on, but focusing on Jesus. So Mary thought that listening mattered most. Number two, Martha thought that laboring mattered most. Now Martha's a pretty hard worker. Verse 40, while Mary sits there, Martha prepares the meal. Now this isn't like Martha went into the kitchen and poured a bowl of Rice Krispies and brought it to Jesus, okay? This is a little more elaborate of a meal. She didn't like mix up some tuna helper, all right? Or like throw on some spaghetti. This was a very elaborate meal, most likely. In fact, the Jewish ritual, just to kind of give you guys a Jewish taste here, basically what they would do at a formal meal, it was almost always three courses. Started out with a fancy drink that they would bring in. And then each course was brought out separately, and each meal was set on a tray and very delicately decorated, made to look really nice. If you guys have ever gone to a fancy restaurant, you know how it is, right? Like if you go to Dairy Queen, they're all, here's your Blizzard. You know, it's just kind of like oozing over the side, right? It doesn't really look that good, but it tastes good. But at a fancy restaurant, they're not only concerned with how it tastes, but they got to make it look good, you know? They've got like the swirl of chocolate on it and the powdered sugar just lightly dusted on top, and it looks great, right? Well, that's probably what Martha is up to, making this food not only taste good, but look really good. She's in there preparing all of this stuff because meals were a very big part of the aspect of relationship. You know, that's why later on in the next chapter of Luke, Jesus goes on to tell a short story about a guy who comes to his friend in the middle of night. He says at midnight, knocks on his door and says, hey, dude, hook me up with some bread. Now, think about it. If your friend gets you out of bed to ask for a piece of bread, you think you're going to be very happy with him? Probably not, right? Dude, go get your own toast. I'm sleeping, you know? Probably wouldn't be too stoked that they came and woke you up. But it was such a big deal in this culture that when you had somebody over, you had to have a meal for them. It was like the unwritten rule that if a guest came into your house, you needed to prepare a meal for them. And that means if you didn't have anything in your fridge, which actually I didn't have fridges, but if you didn't have anything, you go next door, you wake up the neighbors until you find some food to feed your guest. It doesn't matter necessarily if you get the food, but as long as your guest gets the food. This is a big deal. So as you can tell, eating in the Jewish culture was a very big deal, a very big aspect of their relationship, of a friend. It's a little different for us today. In Bible times, you wouldn't just eat with anybody. You only ate with the people that you associated with, that you accepted. Now, it's a little different for us. I don't care who you are or what you've done, I will eat with you, you know? If you got food, I will eat, all right? No problem, I don't care who you are, I will eat your food, no problem, okay? In fact, when I went to the Phoenix Zoo, I fed a giraffe, and I was okay with that, all right? Now, the giraffe and I, yeah, we go back a few thousand years, ancestors, but different people would not associate themselves in Bible times with other people. There's no way you would catch somebody eating together. Sometimes that's even carried over into our culture. At school, you got like the jock table, you got like the cheerleader table, you know, and then you got the Kevin table where I'm all, sweet, nobody likes me. I'm okay with that. I got food, you know, and you got all these people associating with each other over a meal. Like I said, in a Jewish culture, you wouldn't just eat with anybody. And that's why in Mark chapter 2, it was such a big deal that Jesus was seen eating with sinners and tax collectors. The bottom rung of society, Jesus went and had a meal with them. Not that he thought that it was okay that they were living the way that they were, but he wanted them to know, I love you guys. And he went out of his way to show it to them in a big way by eating with them. The interesting thing here about our four verses, about our five verses, is that it kind of makes it seem like that happened all in 5 minutes. You know, Jesus came in, Mary sat at his feet, Martha went to the kitchen, Martha like started to pour the Rice Krispies, then came back in and griped and got mad at Mary, and then everything, you know, Jesus said it. Probably not how it happened. This probably happened maybe over a couple hours. Jesus came in, kicked off his sandals. They probably washed his feet for him. Then Mary, in awe of who Jesus was, sat down at his feet. He began to talk to her and teach her. And Martha is like, oh, that's fine. They can chat for a little while. I'm going to go in the kitchen. Surely Mary will join me here in a few. Maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours pass by. Martha is still in there cooking, making things look so good and taste so good. Mary's nowhere to be found. Where? Martha's probably getting a little upset. You guys know how it is, right? When your sister or your brother's supposed to be helping you with the chores and you're already doing it, you're like, where are they? I can't believe it. I'm going to tell, you know? You get so mad, right? And so you get so mad because they're not there. And so eventually you march in. Mom, tell him to come help me. You get so mad, right? Well, I wonder what Martha was feeling at this point. She's like, I'm doing all the work. Where's Mary at? Mary's out there sitting with Jesus. I'd kind of like to do that. Maybe she could come in here and help me finish this up. And so maybe she's getting kind of a bitter attitude. And so she just works and works and works and doesn't focus necessarily on Jesus or what's going on out there, but she's just focused on getting things done. So Mary thought that listening mattered most. Martha thought that laboring mattered most. Well, Jesus taught that one thing mattered most. One thing mattered most. We live in a multitasking world. You guys know what multitasking is, doing a lot of things at the same time. You guys have probably heard of people who can't walk and chew gum at the same time, right? They're like, take a couple steps, chew their gum, right? They can't do both at the same time. Well, we have grown up in a very technological world where we have become very comfortable with doing a lot of things at the same time. How many of you guys own a cell phone? Okay. If you don't feel bad, because all they are is electronic leashes so that your parents can get a hold of you anytime they want. All right. So they're just leashes and you should not get them until you're forced to. All right. Because once you do, you become a slave to them like myself. But I was reading some statistics today on cell phones. Found out that in the United States, there are approximately 203 million cell phones in the United States. You know what the population of the United States is? About 295 million. Almost every single American citizen owns a cell phone. Actually, it's not necessarily that. There is one cell phone for almost every American citizen. It's a lot of cell phones. In the world, worldwide, there are over 2 billion cell phones. The world population is only 6.6 billion. A third of the people of the earth are represented by cell phones. It's a lot of phones. We do a lot with them. Everywhere you go, you see people talking on the phone, you know? In fact, I read that dialing while driving increases your risk up to 3 times of getting in a car accident. No wonder people do that. You guys have seen the bumper stickers, hang up and drive, you know, because people can't focus. They're doing all these things at the same time. I also read that in 2003, there were over 2,000 people that were polled, and 62%, get this, thought that it was okay to talk on the phone while you're in the restroom. Let me just give you a blanket rule. If you call me, don't be in the bathroom, okay? I don't want to hear your business, got it? I don't want to be invited into that part of your life. I like you, but not that much, all right? I'm sorry. 62% said it's okay to be in the bathroom and talk on your cell phone. You know what I got to say to that? A big S-I-C-K, sick, right? Hang up. That's disgusting. We like to multitask, don't we? Do everything at the same time. And I guess if they could have their guitar at the same time and be doing their homework on the side, you know, they would. Of course, you guys have probably also heard of the cell phone bandit. You probably saw her on the news. This girl in Virginia robbed 3 banks in 2005 while talking on her cell phone. She walked up to the desk, be talking on her cell phone. She'd pass the note to the teller that said, "This is a stick up, give me all your money." The lady would unload all her drawers, stick it in a box. She's talking the whole time. She'd walk out with thousands of dollars after she just robbed that bank. We like to multitask, don't we? Thankfully, she finally got caught. But we're not very good at focusing on one thing at a time. It's no wonder when we read Psalm 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's such a struggle for us. I have to do what? I have to turn off my cell phone? Why? What if my friend calls me? I gotta know, you know? What if I get a text? That's important. My cell phone bill, I gotta pay it, you know? Whatever it is, I gotta check my email. God, I'll be right back, you know? We have such a hard time being still and knowing that He is God. I like how the New American Standard translates that verse, Psalms 46:10. It says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." In other words, stop trying to do everything on your own and recognize that I'm God. Calm down for a couple minutes. Give me a chance, God is saying. Pay attention to me. Quit multitasking and focus on God. Verse 41, Martha finally comes in. Actually, in verse 40, Martha comes in and says, "Hey, Jesus, Mary's doing all the talking, and I'm doing all the work. Tell her to come in and help me." Verse 41, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." And I think Jesus' key phrase starts in the beginning of verse 42. He says, "But one thing is needed." One thing is needed. Now, if one thing is needed, what does that make all the rest of the stuff? Not needed, right? Unnecessary. One thing is needed. And that one thing is exactly what Mary has chosen. And Jesus wasn't about to stop her. He said at the end of verse 42, "And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Now, let me get a couple things straight. We're looking at Martha tonight, and you may be tempted to think, man, she was just a gripe. Let me just make sure you guys know, these were both very godly women that we're learning from tonight. Mary and Martha. They both loved Jesus. They both wanted to serve Jesus. They both went about it, though, in a little bit of a different way. And Martha let her method kind of take over. Take over the way that she was paying attention or not to Jesus. And let me make sure that you guys know this as well. The last thing Jesus is saying here is, "Don't serve me, just sit here and talk." He's not saying that at all. But what happens when you spend time at the feet of Jesus, or you spend time in prayer and reading His word, communicating with Him, is you want those other things, those serving things, begin to just automatically flow out of your life. It just automatically happens. It's not something that you have to constantly strive for and be worried about whether or not other people are helping you, and why am I doing this all by myself, and I got to go out there and calm down. One thing, Jesus says, is needed. Focus on that one thing. And Jesus is not saying, don't serve Him. James chapter 2 says that a real faith, a true and living faith, is going to naturally produce those works in your life. It's going to naturally happen. So let me bring out a couple differences, 3 differences in Mary and Martha. And you guys can write these down on your bulletins. three differences between Mary and Martha. First, a difference in approach. A difference in approach. Because we just read that Mary was content with just listening to Jesus. Verse 39, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She did not come to Jesus to give advice. She came to get advice. She didn't come to give Jesus her life story and tell her what needed to happen, tell him what needed to happen. She came to hear from Jesus and to be fed by his words. And not only was she comfortable sitting with Jesus, but she was paying attention. It says she sat there at his feet and heard his word. She wasn't like, blah, 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 you know? She wasn't sitting there. She was paying attention. She loved it every minute that she had to spend with him. Verse 40, to kind of highlight the difference in approach, says Martha approached him, and then she goes on to tell him what to do. Yeah, she approaches Jesus. Mary also approached Jesus, but you notice they approach him in two different ways. Mary sits at his feet and listens to him and learns from him. And Martha marches up to him and says, Jesus, tell her to come in here. When she says that, tell her to come in here, she is literally, in the original language, commanding Jesus to tell her what to do. She's giving Jesus orders. Jesus doesn't need orders. Let me ask you this. Which one are you more like, Mary or Martha, in that instance? Are you the one who loves to hang out with Jesus? Or are you the one that just goes to Jesus when you need something? When you want to tell him what you're lacking in your life? When you need help? Which one are you? So there's the difference in approach. There's also their difference in attention. Verse 39 says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. But verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. That's interesting to me. How can you be distracted by serving Jesus? I read that and I thought, man, how in the world can that happen? I find it so interesting that serving Jesus distracted her from what was really important. And that word distracted means overoccupied or too busy. Distracted, taken away from what really matters. In fact, I also find it interesting that that word distracted, in the original language, that is the only time in the whole Bible that that word is used to say distracted. And yet the only time in the whole Bible it's used as she was distracted by ministry, by serving. How in the world does that work? It says that she was distracted with much serving. A lot of serving. Overabundance of serving. She was going all out. She was making this meal look so good and taste so good for Jesus. She was doing all of this, and she got so wrapped up in her serving and her ministry that she forgot to spend time with Jesus. He was there. She had her chance, and she missed it. So their attention was different. Their approach was different. And third, they had a difference in attitude. Verse 41, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Martha was so preoccupied by what she was doing that she got worried and troubled. She got really worked up. Her attitude began to show because of it. And you know, there's a lot of things in life that take up our time. You guys ever realize that? How much time we spend on different things? It's crazy. I even read that there's a book out now that answers questions that we all thought were unanswerable, okay? Some of the questions are like, why don't penguins' feet freeze? You guys ever thought about that? Huh. That's true. Why don't they freeze, you know? Or why does hair turn gray? Or why are left-handers, me, how many lefties in the room, okay? The question, why are left-handers more at risk for accidents? That's scary. I want to find out, you know? I don't know why that is. Or here was one that I actually kind of wanted to spend my time reading about. How do ants survive in a microwave? What? They don't die? And I got to find that out, you know? Where's an ant, you know? I was tempted when I read that. I was like, I need to find an ant. I need to test this out, you know? I don't know why it's like that. But you know what's funny is that those questions come out every once in a while. And we'll spend our time on things like that that seem important at the time, but really, when you think about it, it's not at all important in the light of eternity. And so their difference in approach and their difference in attention made a difference in their attitude. Because Mary approached Jesus in a spirit of worship, she was so excited to be with him. Because she gave attention to him, it changed her attitude. She was in awe of Jesus. She was focused. But because Martha approached it in a different way, she came up and she demanded Jesus to do something about her situation. And then her attention was even different. She wasn't paying attention to Jesus. She was paying attention to the food. Because of that, her attitude was different. I read today that they did a study recently in Maryland, found out a funny thing about guys. Guys sometimes, I'll just tell you very honestly, are stupid, okay? Guys, come on, be honest. We just don't think sometimes, all right? Yeah. Girls, you already knew that. I know I'm not giving you any new information, but this study proved it, okay? This study found out, after a doctor tracked over 800 college and professional football, basketball, and baseball games, he tracked over 800 games over a period of 3 years. He found out that men were more likely, if they needed to go to the emergency room, to wait till after the game was over than to go during the game. He found out that 50% more men check themselves into the emergency room after a football or a basketball game was over than in the middle of the game. 30 to 40% more after a baseball game. Can you believe that? Guys, think, all right? You're dying. You might want to do something about that, you know? But I liked what he said at the end of this study, the end of this article. He said, men should not risk their health by putting off going to the emergency room because they want to see the final results of a football game. It could be the last game they ever see. Yeah, very true. Like, I think I'm having a heart attack. Who's winning? Oh man, I really need to go to the ER. Oh, field goal. Oh, my heart, you know. Pay attention. If you're dying, if there's a problem, you need to get it fixed. And it seems crazy, and we laugh at those guys. But you know what? A lot of people do that spiritually. Did you realize that? A lot of people go to church. A lot of people go about their life, and there's a problem. And they know there's a problem, but they're not ready to give it up yet. They're ready to just continue having fun living the life that they're living. And maybe some of you in this room are just like that. You've just never been quite ready to fully give it up. Can I just tell you, this could be the last church service you see. You say, well, I'll just wait till I'm a little older, till I'm out of school, you know, because I can have fun when I'm in school. You might say that. But did you know that today could be the last day you see? You got to really think about it. You got to really think about where you want to spend eternity. Because you guys know exactly what the Bible says about sin and what it does for us. We were all born with it, every single one of us. Born with the problem of sin. And you know what sin does? It separates us from God. And if we don't have somebody to pay for the sin in our lives because we could never do enough, if we don't have somebody to do it for us, we'll end up spending eternity in hell. And that is the place that you would not wish on your worst enemy. But a lot of people are okay with it because they just want to have a good time now. Kind of like the guys watching football, they just want to finish the game. You just want to finish the week. You just want to finish the year. You just want to finish your school. And then you'll finally get your problem taken care of. Take care of it tonight. Tonight could be the last time that you see church, that you have an opportunity. Especially, as you guys have seen in the news recently, in the world we live in. You guys probably heard about on Monday, there was a 13-year-old that took an AK-47 to his school. He was arrested for terrorism. How do you guys know that your school isn't next? You guys ever thought of that? I've been praying for each of you guys, praying that God would protect you at your schools, because it is rising very quickly. And how do you know how much longer you're going to be alive? Today could be it. And you need to make sure you're right with God. The time is now. And so tonight, I want to remind you that the only thing that really matters is where you're at with Jesus. Are you like Martha and you're trying to do lots of great stuff? Those are good things. Or are you like Mary and you're sitting at the feet of Jesus and you're enraptured by who Jesus is? Which one are you? If you need to change which one you are tonight, I want to challenge you to do that. I don't want you to leave. I want you to be bold. I want you to talk to me. I want you to talk to a leader. And we want to pray with you. Because like I said, the only thing in life that really matters is where you're at with Jesus. And I challenge you tonight to check your heart. To give God an opportunity to check your heart. Is there something that you have not given up? Learn from Mary. Learn from Martha. And give it all to Jesus. Pay attention to him while you still can. Let's pray. Jesus, you are all that really matters in life. And it's so hard at times, though, for us to remember that. Because we get so caught up in our busy lives and our busy schedules and our friends and our school and our whatever it is. But God, I pray that you would give us the boldness, that you would give us the courage, Lord, but you'd also give us the ability and the diligence to make the time that we need for you each day, that we could sit at your feet. And Jesus, we thank you that you are present with us. You are present with us, Lord, and we know that we can trust in you. So Lord, I pray for each student in this room. First of all, that you would protect them at their schools, we pray, Lord. That you would save them from any kind of terrible thing that could happen. Lord, we know that tomorrow could be it. So, Lord, I pray that they would just be bold in their faith for you. But, Lord, also in their individual lives at home, in my individual life at home, that I would be like Mary. And I would be so enraptured and in awe of who you are that I couldn't be drawn away. Help me never to be tempted to try to earn your love by the things that I do, Lord, but to trust completely in you. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that you loved us so much that you proved it for us on the cross. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great night. Feel free to hang around. We'll be throwing the football and stuff.